Good evening, everybody. It's good to have you here this evening. And all 10 of us said,
Amen.
Amen. And all 500 of you out there said, Amen. All right. It's good to be here this evening. Some have asked, Chad, how are you doing with the self-quarantining at your home? A friend of mine actually asked me that the other night, and I said, well, I come to discover I have a wife and daughter. It's amazing how life gets you so busy that you're always going from place to place. So I actually count this as a blessing to be able to sit down and not have to be in such a rush to go here and there and all those things that come with it. And just to be able to sit down and to connect with my wife and daughter. So I'm enjoying that. And I'm also enjoying the crowd that we have here tonight. And I'm used to, actually, smaller crowds don't bother me, because I used to preach at, I was going to say funeral homes, but that was the wrong word. What are those things? Old folks homes.
Nursing homes.
Jeff's future home. And the only difference there, well, there's really no difference, because most people go to sleep. As of right now, you folks don't see this, but Pastor and Mrs. Springer have already checked out of here, and they're in La La Land. I'm just kidding. If you only see the look I'm getting from my mother. But anyway, it's good to be here tonight, and we're going to go ahead and turn our Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter number 11. Book of Acts, chapter number 11. I'm going to start off just reading in verse number 1, and then I'm going to jump down, I believe, to verse number 14 and go on from there. So verse number 1 is really kind of going to get us back into what we heard here a couple weeks ago. As you all know, we didn't have services last Sunday night, so we'll get caught up here rather quickly. It says in verse number 1, it says, "And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God." Now, what this is referring to is the message a few weeks ago was Cornelius and his family heard the gospel preached by Peter in their house, and some amazing things took place there. And the greatest thing about that part of it was this was the first time that beside the Jews, the gospel is being preached to the Gentiles. And so this is something exciting for us to really think about here. So that verse gets us caught up there. Then let's go down to verse number 16. It says, "Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand?" Now that's referring to, as we went over a couple weeks ago, back in chapter number 10, the Holy Spirit fell upon the folks in the house of Cornelius, and they received gifts the way the disciples received gifts when they were in the upper room praying together with one another. In between verse number 1 and verse number 16, Peter was basically rehearsing and defending himself what was taking place, and we'll get caught up with that. As we go on, in verse number 17, it says, "For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they were assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll begin to go through this together. Our Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for this evening that you've allowed us to have once again. Yes, our circumstances are a little bit different in how we meet, but Lord, we're still able to meet. We're still able to preach and teach the gospel. That has not been taken from us, and we are thankful for that. God, as we gather around here in the services tonight at church and folks in their homes this evening, Lord, the amazing thing to me is not only are you working here, but you're working in people's homes as well. So, God, I pray that you would continue to bestow your blessings upon us. God, I ask that you just be with me, and I pray, Lord, that you would be glorified tonight, and I would not say anything to bring embarrassment or shame to you. My goal here this evening is to bring glory to you, and I ask it in your name. Amen. Well, as we just read this in chapter number 11, my title tonight is, What Does It Mean to Be a Christian? We just read this last verse. It said they were called Christians first in Antioch, and we're going to deal with that towards the end of the service, but I want to keep you to keep that in mind as we travel through this this evening. In the first few verses that we weren't able to read, we see here Peter goes into defense. And the reason why he went into defense is some good reasons here. He had to go into defense mode for receiving Cornelius. Cornelius wasn't a Jew, he was a Gentile, and they were not to mix together. And back in chapter number 10, both Cornelius and Peter received visions. And Peter's was happened to be in a dream. And I can only imagine what he was going through at this point in time, because I myself have a lot of dreams, and some weird things happen to me when I fall asleep and begin to go off into la-la land. Last week, I awoke. Well, I wasn't awake. My wife was awake, and this happened to be early on in the morning. I scream a lot in my dreams, and I don't know why I do these things, but that's what I do. And I was screaming for help, and I kept calling for Chris to help me. And little did I know, the wife that I have is she keeps me on my toes. She keeps me laughing. Instead of helping me, she grabbed her phone and began to record me. And she has it on video. If anybody wants to see it, I don't care. It's kind of funny. And she awoke me out of my dream as I began to call for help. And she goes, Chad, what were you dreaming about? Well, just to let you know, in my dream, I was dreaming that I was wrestling a bull that night, and the horns of the bull were going to stab me in the stomach, and I wanted help. That's what I did. Had another one the other night, but this one, it was, I awoke my daughter and my wife at the same time, and this one kind of messed them up a little bit, because I was hollering for Jesus, and they thought Jesus was coming, and I began to holler for him. But anyway, that's a weird dream. But I can kind of understand what they're going through as Peter was going through this point in time in his life as he saw this vision. And so in this vision, he was told to go to Cornelius. Cornelius was told to go to Peter, and Cornelius sends out his men, and he gathers Peter, and they meet. And so he had to go on defense mode for receiving him. So what took place at this point in time in these scriptures, he had to vindicate himself. Why did he have to vindicate himself? Well, up until now, the gospel was only preached to the Jews. The Gentiles were missing out on this gospel that was being preached. And Peter had to go on defense mode. With the death of Jesus that ended, and now the Gentiles, because of this, would benefit from the preaching of God's word. This, however, as I said a few moments ago, is a joyous time for all of us who are Gentiles to celebrate the gospel that is being preached. Even though, as I said in my prayer a little while ago, our circumstances are different, but we ought to be excited that we're still able to meet wherever we are at. However we are able to gather, we can still meet. And why is that an exciting and joyous time? Because we're able to hear God's word being open to us, and allowing it to speak to our hearts. I believe it's also a joyous time because lives have been changed because of the gospel of God's word that is being preached. I have been one of those lives that has been benefited from the gospel being preached. On April 26th of 1986, I was able to realize that my sins, not anybody else's sins, but my sins alone were sending me to hell. And because I heard the gospel preached a majority of my young life, I didn't listen the way that I should, but on one particular evening, the gospel spoke to me in a way that I've never heard it before. And the Holy Spirit was telling me, if you don't confess and repent of your sins, you're going to go to hell. That night, I knelt right outside these church walls, and I knelt down in front of a tree and began to ask God to forgive me my sins and come into my heart. And that is a joyous time in my life. And many of us can probably reflect on the day that Christ spoke to you and you accepted him as your Lord and Savior. Some might say, well, I don't know the day, but I know the year. Oh, I don't know the year, but I know the month. And why do we know of these things? Because it was a joyous time when the gospel finally registered in our mind that we needed him as our Lord and Savior. When Jesus died, he didn't die just for the Jews. He died for the whole world. He died for all of us. It's not his will that everyone would go to hell. That's on the choice of the individual. He either wants to accept or not accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. But with his death gave us victory. And we only have that victory when we accept what he has given us, which is why this is a joyous time. And we need to celebrate in that. Even today, we've been asked to stay at home so that this virus can be killed and not go out and be able to get as many folks sick that are around us. But despite those things, the gospel is still being preached. I was able to get on Instagram this afternoon and be able to see some of your stories that you put up there, stories of friends that that don't live here, but they put stories on of their pastor preaching on Facebook or live stream through their website and things of that nature. And that is exciting. Why is that exciting? Because people still have a desire to hear God's word. And that is amazing to me. So even with that being said, it still is a time of us for to be rejoicing. And as long as Jesus tarries, the gospel will still go forth. It will still go forth. There isn't no world leader that can stop the gospel of Christ. There's no world leader that has the power over Jesus Christ. They might be able to try and threaten us down the road, but I got news for them. They've already been defeated. As I read in the book of Revelation, even the kings will bow down before the Lord our God. And that is an exciting time that's going to take place in our world. So as long as Jesus tarries, the gospel will still go forth. Imagine with me for a second what this world would look like without Christ in it today. You know, we see so many things that's happening in our world. We're seeing people walking down the streets, shooting at other individuals. We're seeing individuals walk down the street and begin to pull out their knives and stab individuals. We see people that walk into our stores and begin to take what is not theirs. Why does this take place? Well, that's because of the evil that is in their hearts. But with that being said, imagine what it would be like without Christ in this world. I'm glad that Christ is still with us. I'm glad that Christ hasn't left us. And that brings to my mind, he will never leave us nor forsake us. But this world would be empty. This world would be lost without him. And that's a place that we don't want to be in. And that's a place that I can't even begin to imagine what this world would look like without him. Even with a virus today, we can still rejoice because Jesus died for what reason? So that we can live. We don't need to worry about a virus taking our lives. Matter of fact, why do we as believers put so much fear into this? when heaven is our future. I've heard so many people say, well, if you get the virus, you might die. Well, let me just tell you this to put you at comfort just a little bit. If you were to die, if you got the virus, it's because that was your day and time for God, for you, to, your life to be ended. No man knows the day or the hour when we're going to come into this world or when we're going to come out of this world. But God himself knows those things. So we shouldn't fear death if it comes our way. Matter of fact, death for us as believers is our life that is truly beginning. That is what we're created for. That's one thing that we as believers need to understand. We're not created for this world. We're created to be with him. And I'm looking forward to the day that I'm able to go be with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But until then, I'm going to enjoy the time that I have here. I'm not going to sit here and live in fear and what virus or bacteria might come our way. That's just petty for us to live in fear. It really is. The good thing about all this that has come about is people washing their hands. I can't wait to get done so I can go wash my hands once again. I don't think I've washed my hands so many times in my life. And to be honest with you, I like a little dirt on my hands. It makes me feel like I accomplished something. But anyway, we don't need to be scared of those things. Why? Because we have the gospel. The gospel has showed us the truth. And that's what we need to cling to. This is a great time for you and I to have a drawing closer to God instead of a drawing away from God. It's not the same in here tonight without you folks. It really isn't. We don't function well without each other. We are the body of Christ, and we need each other. We truly do. But until then, we're going to keep doing what we're doing. This isn't a time for us to live in fear, but rather a time for us to capitalize upon the audience that God is giving us at this time. God has given, during this time, people that are scared, not knowing what's going to happen to them. But why should we capitalize on this audience? Because we have the truth that is given to us. And what is that truth? That's the gospel that went into Peter, that gospel that went into Cornelius. And that is the same gospel that came to you. And that's the same gospel that we ought to spread forth into this world. It's a time for us to capitalize upon the audience. I've seen this time and time again in the book of Acts, where Peter will capitalize upon the audience that God has given him at this point in time in his life. He's given us a tremendous opportunity to be a voice for him in this lost world that needs him. He has given us a tremendous opportunity to be a light to shine on this world when this world is surrounded in darkness. And it's a time for us to capitalize upon the opportunity that is before us. With the gospel that is going forth, there is the success of the gospel as you read through verse number 19 and 21 as we did earlier. I can't even begin to understand how many people's lives that have been changed because of the gospel. I only know what God has done in my life. And I've heard of stories of what God has done in your lives. But I only know personally what he's done in my life. I only know personally what he has saved me from. I only know those things that are about me. And so I can't even begin to imagine all the people that have already gone before us, that the success of the gospel in their lives. Jesus' desire wasn't for the gospel to be a failure. That wasn't his goal. That wasn't his desire. But his desire was for the gospel to be successful. Matter of fact, he set it up to be successful. On the day of Pentecost, thousands of people were saved. And in those scriptures that we read back in chapter 2 and chapter number 3, it says, and they were added to the family of God. I don't know what you understand about success, but that's success to me. Success is when the word of God is preaching and people hear it, they realize their sins are taken into hell and they call upon their Lord as their Savior. He desired to be successful. From that day forward, he used men, not only men, but he used women to further the gospel. And that gospel is still going forth to this day. I'm going to take just a little brief time out as God used men and women to further the gospel. because the gospel is successful. For 99 years, we have had a man that we have come to know and love. I haven't been around all those 99 years. I've only known him for about 20 years of my life. And that has been a joyous time in my life. But I know God used Doc Martin to further the gospel. Doc had a tremendous ability to have people gather around him just because of his joyous smile and his love for others. I don't think Doc ever met a stranger. And I don't think a stranger ever felt like a stranger when they met Doc. He treated everybody equally. Now, if he said something bad about somebody behind their back, I would never know those things. But knowing Doc, I don't think that really took place. But one of the things that I know about Doc was he had a desire to give the gospel to whomever he came in contact with. Just a few months ago, he came to one of our volleyball games, and he told my wife to invite somebody to church. That's at the age of 98. He still had a desire to invite people to church because he knew of the change that took place in his life. And one of the greatest things that I've seen take place in the life of Doc, as you see before me this evening, is a bowl that he has filled personally himself with these little Bible gospels. There's little tracts in there. It shows you how to get saved. And he's touched, I don't know, maybe hundreds, if not maybe thousands of lives, to be honest with you. At the age of 99, you're going to touch a lot of people's lives. And his desire was to further that gospel. Why? Because it was successful in his life. But Doc is with the presence of the Lord this evening. And you know what needs to take place? This bowl of Bibles will soon be empty within a month or two, hopefully. Who's going to be around to fill that bowl up once again so that those gospel tracts can still get distributed to the world that needs it? What a great example for us to follow. And what a great time in our lives is, hey, you know what? The mantle's been left behind. We talked about the mantle a few weeks ago. Now who's going to pick that mantle up and take that forth? Make that a part of their ministry to further that gospel. The only failure that has taken place, it's been us. It's been us. Meaning at times, we have abandoned our faith. Today, we can abandon our faith. We can walk away from God, but that's one of the greatest mistakes you'll ever make in your life. I don't stand tonight before you a perfect man. You all know me. You know I'm not perfect, and this is not the time to have 100 amens going about. But I have abandoned my faith. I have failed God. And when I mean that I've abandoned my faith, there's been a point in time where getting the gospel to other people wasn't important in my life. And I say that with great shame. Look at it in this way, if you would, for me. Parents set their kids up to be successful. My goal in my life, as my wife and I raise our daughter, our goal is not for her to be successful in the world. Our goal is for her to be successful in Christ. And so we take the time to mentor her. We take the time to teach her. And as we take that time to mentor and teach, we take that time to also equip her with the tools that she will need in her life in order to be successful for Christ. But at the end of the day, it will be the child's choice to either accept those tools that are given so that we can see her be successful. I say this for a reason. We come to church every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. For what reason? So that we can get equipped to be successful in the world for God. Not to worry about how successful we are in our careers, or how popular we might be amongst our family members and friends and have a great social life. That's not what success is all about. Success is going forth doing God's will, doing God's plan in your life. But unfortunately, along the way, even God's people reject the tools that are given them. When we use the tool that God has given us, which is, by the way, is the Bible. It's the Bible. When we use His tool, failure is not an option. In the last couple months, I don't say this braggadociously, but I have changed my reading schedule, my reading habits, because of a challenge that was given to me by a friend. And I'm a person who is a slow reader. I'm a person who has to really take my time to meditate upon God's Word. And as this challenge was given to me, my biggest fear was it's just going to go into my ear and into my mind and not really stay. That challenge was to read the Word of God within 3 months. And that's a big challenge and that's a big task. At first I said no, then I began to think about it with shame afterwards, and God began to humble me. I took this man up on his challenge. And I tell you what, it's been a great 2 months of my life where more of the Word of God is filtering my heart, my soul, and my mind. And I can't wait till the next day to begin to read those many chapters that I need to read. Last Friday was one of the biggest days that I was able to have. I was sharing it with my wife earlier. I read 45 scriptures that day. You say, well, Chad, that's pretty hard. No, that's actually pretty easy because it was the book of Psalms. But it's been a change in my life. It's equipping me to be a better servant for God. It's equipping me to be successful. The gospel is all about being successful. And so as the Bible is being successful, as you read in verses 22 through 26, the third point that I would like to get to this evening, and we'll be done here shortly, is don't stop the good work that's being done. Don't stop it. When something good is happening, we need to carry on that work. That illustration I gave just a little bit ago with this bowl right in front of me is a good work that needs to continue to go on. And I'm excited to see who is that individual that's going to take me up on this offer. Is it going to be a man? Is it going to be a woman? Is it going to be a teenager? I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm excited to see what will happen with this bowl here in the future. Don't let it stop. Keep going on. Let that work continue to go forth. Stick with what works. Don't change it. So often we see people in our world today that are trying to change God's Word. They come up with their own versions that I don't begin to understand. There are some versions that I like to laugh at, but I won't say those tonight because I can just dwell on that all night. Well, I'm going to do one. I like the NIV for this reason. It's the non-inspired version, which is why I don't read it. So often people are trying to change God's Word. Stick with His Word. He hasn't changed, so why change Him? Verse number 26, we see a term that we use now, and that term is Christian. I have a hard time using that term Christian because the world uses it so loosely now. You begin to ask people, do you believe in God? Yeah, I'm a Christian. Well, everybody I come in contact with then is a Christian in their mind. Here, you look at the word Christian, it means Christ-like. That name should mean something to us. It means we're going to act like Christ. We're going to try and look like Christ. We're going to try to do what Christ did. It's being Christ-like. I'd rather use the word believer, to be honest with you. Or another term that I came up recently is, I'd rather be called the Son of God, to be honest with you. I like that term better. Only because most everyone I know calls themselves a Christian when they are not. What they are doing, they're dragging God's name through the mud. A believer that has been changed by God should have a desire to carry on his work. The disciples during this time made great sacrifices to carry on the work of God, risking their own lives, at times facing death, people wanting to stone them, people wanting to hang them, and many of them died horrible, horrible deaths. Some of them spent time in jail. We read of Paul, he spent a majority of his ministry in jail, which is why I always called his ministry the Motel 6. We'll leave a light on for you, Paul. And Paul spent his time in there. So they had a desire to carry out his work. They made great sacrifices for him. Why? For this reason, so that we could benefit having the same Jesus that they had. They knew of the change that came in their life, and they didn't want to stop that work. They wanted that work to carry on. They wanted that work to go forth into this world. And honestly, that work is still changing hearts and lives of many souls to this day. They wanted them to have the same Jesus. Today, we are warned that the coronavirus can cause death. This is causing panic in our world. What we really need to be concerned with is, where will you spend eternity? Let's just say the coronavirus did come into your life and it did take your life. Where would you spend eternity? I know for a fact today, because I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that if I was to die at this very moment, I would be in the presence of the Lord. Which, by the way, believers don't die. They pass from this life and begin their new life with the Lord. We need to be concerned about where people will spend eternity. God gives us an audience for you and I to capitalize on. And are we capitalizing on that audience that we are given? Well, Chad, all I have is my workplace. That's an audience that God wants you to capitalize. Well, Chad, all I have is my family members around me. That's an audience that God wants you to capitalize. He wants you to take time to be concerned with folks who are lost and going to hell. Again, people are scared. They're panicking now. I'm hearing it at my work and my job place. They're scared. They don't know what's going to happen. And here I come walking in without a care in the world. Why are you so different? Because I got Jesus Christ. That's why. I'm not worried about the things that the majority of this world is worried about. So the answer today is, and the cure today, and the antidote today for this virus is Jesus Christ. Because he is the great physician. He is the one who can bring total healing in your body. What does it really mean to be a Christian? It means carrying on the name of Jesus, showing the world who he is and what he can do for them. Maybe God is using this worldwide crisis to see how his children during this time will rise to the occasion. Are we tired of sitting down in our comfy seats at home or in church, letting everybody else do the job that's around us? Are we going to rise to the occasion? Are we going to see what is before us? And that is, God wants to use you. Well, I'm not good at speaking to people directly. I'm not good at public speaking. I tell you this, when you go in the name of Jesus, he will speak for you. He will give you words to say that you're not able to understand it. Wow, that came out of my mouth? He will give you that ability to do so. So are we going to rise to the occasion, or are we going to go back into the corner where we are most of the times in our lives and let this opportunity slip away from us? We have the ability to rise to the occasion. As I close this evening, take advantage of the opportunity that is before you. Seize the moment. Do what God wants you to do. You are his voice. He saved you from hell, and he's given you a home in heaven. Why not share that with the world? I tell you what, the book of Acts to me is an exciting book. And I look forward to going on even further as time allows us to do so. Let's have a word of prayer, and we will see you folks hopefully very soon in the future. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. We thank you for your word that you've allowed us to hear tonight. God, I want to thank you for taking away the panic in my life. Lord, I remember how scared I was when I realized I was going to hell. God, I called upon you, and you came into my life. You saved my soul. You calmed me. God, I thank you. Lord, I know that there are thousands, if not millions of people that are panicking, and they need you as Lord and Savior. God, I pray that we would help be your voice in this time of crisis. And we ask it in your name. Amen.